In our previous show, we began a discussion about if someone causes a loss to someone else, how much of a responsibility does he carry? And we quoted from our Gemara that the halacha, based on the machlokes in our Gemara of the Tanakam Rav Shimon Gamliel, is that the seller is only responsible for the defective item that he sold, not for any money that the buyer might have laid out because of that. And we quoted the machlokes of the Rambam and Ravid regarding a broken engagement. The chassan was preparing a meal and the kala broke the engagement. With a Rambam, the Ravid based on our Gemara says that the kala is not responsible to pay, whereas the Rambam holds the kala is responsible to pay. And we quoted the explanation of the Magen Mishnah why the two cases are not the same. Rabbi Akiva Eiger finds the approach of the Magen Mishnah and the entire explanation of this machlokes by the Magen Mishnah somewhat difficult. And the reason he finds it difficult is he quotes an opinion of the Rosh. The Rosh says, if somebody tells a professional, make for me a piece of furniture, make for me whatever, and I'll buy it, make it, and then I'll come and I'll buy it. And then the customer changes his mind, says the Rosh, he tells the seller, I'm canceling my order. The halacha is that it's chayif. And the reason is because it's considered garmi. And as we discussed in our previous shiur, even though the halacha is groma ben nezakin is potter, garmi is chayif. What differentiates garmi for groma is when the damage is certain to come. So here, where someone ordered the furniture to be manufactured, and he started manufacturing that furniture, and I canceled the order, there's certainly going to be definite damage to the manufacturer. And when the damage happens immediately, and here it also happened immediately, the moment the order was canceled, the manufacturer had immediate loss. The classical examples of garmi and groma is if somebody is holding on to an IOU. The piece of paper of that IOU really has no value, but it really carries a lot of value because otherwise it's going to be difficult for the malva to collect. If somebody burns that piece of paper, he will be chayif, even though the piece of paper really doesn't have any value. The classical example of groma, if somebody put down poison and then somebody's animal walked by and ate the poison, so I could always say, who told your animal to eat the poison? And therefore, it's only considered a groma. There's a sma. The Sman Simen Lamed Tes, Sif Cotton Mem Vav, discusses a situation where Malva tells the loiver, you know what, you want to borrow money from me? Fine. Go to a lawyer and have the paperwork drawn up that represents the loan obligation. And he goes, and then now the loiver comes with that document, and the malva says, I changed my mind. I'm not lending you money. The halacha says the sma is that the loiver could tell the malva, you're obligated to pay me for the money I spent on the lawyer. So ask Rabbi Kivega. We just learned the halacha that the Rosh quotes. We just learned the halacha that the Sma quotes. And we previously learned the machlokes of the Rambam and the Ravid. Does that mean that the Ravid will disagree in the case of the Rosh? Does that mean that the Ravid will also disagree in the case of the Sma? And furthermore, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He says, the Magen Mishnah's explanation in the Rambam was that when does the Rambam say that you'll be responsible, you will not be responsible, is when the person who got damaged had an interest in profiting. But in the case of the Rosh, where I cancel the order, I'm not profiting. I have no profit motive. So why am I taka chayiv? So therefore, Kivega takes a different approach altogether. He says, if we look at halacha, there are two types of situations. There's the case of the seeds of our Gemara that were planted. I bought the defective seeds and I spent money and time and resources in planting them. There's the case of the Kala who broke the engagement. And there's the case that we spoke in today's shiur about, the person who canceled the order on the furniture, the person who canceled his word that he would lend the money. He says, what's the difference between these two groups? In the first group, the seller never told the nizik to do anything. The seller never told the buyer, go plant those fields. The kala never told the chassan, go make a Sudas Erisin. They did it on their own. And that's what the Ravid says. You did it on your own, you're going to be held responsible. The Rambam disagrees. Pash Pshah, why does the Rambam disagree? The Rambam disagrees because, the Rambam disagrees by the Kala, because everybody makes an engagement. So the Rambam considers it as if the chassan was told by the Kala, make an engagement party. Whereas, in the cases that we learned in today's shiur, the case of the Rosh, where somebody ordered the furniture and then canceled the order. The case of the Sma, where somebody was told, I'll lend you money, and then he backed out. There, he was told to do something. The mazik told the nizik to do something. And therefore, the mazik is held responsible. Very, very new situation. That even though in our Gemara, as we've been discussing already in the second shiur, if the you don't have to pay for my expenses, that's only in a case, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where you didn't tell me to lay out those expenses. And therefore, I saw a very interesting shaila. What would be the halacha? This is the case that I saw a discussion where someone, the story goes as follows. There was somebody came to an airport. A girl came to the airport and a woman approaches this girl and tells this girl, I have a granddaughter in the place where you're traveling to. Very, very sick. Could you do me a favor and this doll they'll be waiting at the airport that you're traveling to, and please give her this doll. This person, hearing the plight of this girl who's never sick, agreed. As this person arrived to the airport with the doll, she was arrested. Because the doll actually was full of drugs. There was a whole story. the squirrel, her family, nice people, certainly don't have the ability to hire a lawyer to help this girl who was just put into jail for smuggling drugs. So a lawyer approaches the family and says, I am prepared to represent your daughter, and all I ask of you are my expenses to travel to that country where she's incarcerated. The family doesn't really have the money, but they have no choice, and they go and make all the reservations and spend all the money for the lawyer to go. After all of that money is spent, non-refundable, that's the lawyer comes and says, I changed my mind. I'm not prepared to defend your daughter, or certainly not prepared to defend your daughter at no cost. What's the halacha? So the family says, but we laid out all this money based on your say-so. Given what we just learned from Akiva Eger, that if you told me to spend the money, then you are held responsible. This lawyer told the family to make the reservations, and therefore he will be held responsible. This discussion opens up an interesting question. Let's say someone gave me a check, and the check bounced. And we know that if somebody deposits a bounced check, the bank takes a fee. So what will be the halach if somebody gave me a check and the check bounces? And so certainly he has to give me back the amount that the check was for. That isn't a conversation. The question is, can I make him pay for the fee that I laid out? So Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, in his Sefer Pischei Choshen, in Hilchas Nezikin, Perik Gimel, Ha'ora Samach Gimel, discusses this question. He says, at first glance, this should be comparable to our Gemara, where somebody sold me defective seed. That we'll learn the halacha is, you're going to have to return the seed, but any expense that I had, I can't claim from you. Especially, he quotes the Ravid that we just discussed previously. But he says, you can't compare the two situations. He says, when somebody gives me a check, he knows what am I going to do with that check. I'm going to deposit it in the bank. And he knows that if it bounces, the bank is going to charge me a fee. So therefore, he says, it's not comparable to our case. In our case, the seller could tell the buyer, I didn't ask you to plant the seeds. By the check, you can't say that the person who gave you the check said, I didn't ask you to deposit the check. Of course he asked you to deposit the check. And therefore, you'll be chayv. He does go into two interesting questions. One question is, what will be if the person who gave me the check that didn't have the adequate coverage didn't know. Will he only be responsible for the fee if he knew he gave me a bad check? But if he didn't know he gave me a bad check, then we won't hold him responsible. Or even if he didn't know, he caused me a loss and he should be held responsible. But then he says a very good thing. The Pesach Choshen of Yaakov Bloy has a sefer called Bris Yehuda on Hilchos Ribbis. So he also has a perspective on the Shaila from Hilchos Ribbis. And he says, what happens if now the check that I received, I deposited with the assumption that it was a good check? It wasn't a good check, but I have an arrangement with the bank, an overdraft arrangement, where they will, if I don't have enough funds in the account, they will lay out the money for me, for the checks that I write, but of course they'll charge me interest for my overdraft. Can I now go back to the person who gave me that bad check, that bounced check, and cause me to have to pay interest and claim that interest fee from him? Because normally, as we very well know, ribbis is certainly usur. And even if I pay ribbis because of you, the halacha doesn't allow me to recoup that from you. So here, can I ask from you for the ribbis? So he says that this is not considered collecting ribbis. He says this is considered mekach u'memker, and therefore it's not that I'm collecting money from you, because what is ribbis? Agenotar. Ribbis means that I'm getting paid for my money not being paid back yet, for you holding my money. Here you're not paying me because I'm letting you hold on to my money. You're paying me because I incurred a charge. Just the way the bank charges is through interest. Therefore, he says, not only would the person have to pay a fee if he issued a bad check that I have to pay my bank when I deposit such a bad check in my account, but even if the bank charged me interest, I can make a claim on that interest from the person who issued the bad check.